Honourable members, let me first apologize for logging in late. It's because the secretary sent us mistakenly last week is the link, and we have been struggling to use it until he has changed it. I hope everybody have logged in, and we all in now, or some are just gonna join us soon. However, I will suggest that we start our meeting let me just wait for a minute before we start.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning.
Yes, Sam.
Yeah, no, good morning. Hey, sorry, Chair, the technology dealt with me. I've just sent it also to Mr. Kachalia. He's checking is checking in.
Okay. We'll be starting in a minute.
Hey, Chair.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you, bro?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
Hi, no. Siyaphatani, sangobisi mo si lesi so.
Yeah.
Ngiyazizwe zakho ze SAA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read that caption?
Not yet.
Yeah, there is a caption which it says Upravin did indiance clandestinely, but he has since responded. Apparently,
okay.
There's a guy who is playing being naughty. So I think the feedback will get it on Monday when the minister is debriefing us.
Can we start the meeting, honorable members?
Yeah.
Welcome all members to our portfolio committee meeting. I think we all know the agenda of this meeting, but before we do anything, let me ask the secretary to give any apologies on your side, Sam.
Morning, Chair. The apology as received is from Mr. Kwankwa only.
Kwankwa. Only.
Yes, Chair, that's the only written apology that I received.
Okay. Honorable members, that's the only apology we have. But also would like to state again, Honorable Mkhwanazi, who has undergone some, what do you call, surgery. She's still recovering, and I think they have 2 weeks. Leave to fully recover, still undergoing some therapies and so on. Therefore, we won't be with her for quite days. We wish her speedy recovery. Yeah. Can we go straight with the business of the day, Today we'll be starting with the oversight report to Durban, Transnet Durban, and Tisank, we are expecting you to take us through with that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The report was sent to the members last week for them to go through it. The first part of the report deals with the introduction, which is an oversight visit to the Port of Durban, Transnet Engineering, and the pipeline from the 3rd to the 4th of February 2022. The purpose of the visit was to assess progress that has been made in the expansion of the port, the impact of the corporatization of the port, challenges and efficiencies of the port. The committee met with the executive of Transnet, which was led by the chief executive, the group chief executive officer, Ms. Persia Devi, and the delegation of the committee. It's also in the introduction. In terms of the Port of Durban, we have given an overview of the port in terms of its capacity and its contribution to the GDP. 2.1, we have dealt with the operational challenges of the port, which are in that particular table. And then we also deal with the update on the port decongestion initiatives. Yes, we know that one of the challenges of the port is the long traffic of trucks and the congestion of containers at the port. So these are the what has been reported as the initiatives that have been done to deal with that. I'm not going to go into each and every one of them. And then in terms of the TNPA interventions to improve terminal efficiencies and oversight, that's what they presented was the performance oversight management initiatives that have been introduced at the port. And also the KZN port master plan strategy, which also seeks to assist in relation to the efficiencies in the port. 2.4 deal with the high-level enablers that Transnet has initiated as their major project for the growth of the Port of Durban. They are listed only in this particular 2.4, which is quite a number of projects. And then the 2.5 deals with the milestone in terms of how far they have gone in terms of some of these projects, which deals with the completion of the cruise terminal, the appointment of consultants to validate the master plans, and all the others that we have listed over there. And then in relation to the Transnet Engineering, which is 3.1 of the report, it is the largest single heavy engineering capability in the country with extensive manufacturing capability and maintenance services. So here we're looking at what are the challenges that the engineering, Transnet Engineering is facing, which is the insufficient demand in the current rolling stock requirements, both locally and in terms of accessible demand on the African continent to sustain transit engineering. We have listed all the challenges of the training of training engineering over there, and also looking at South Africa's deindustrialization and the switch to a service economy, coupled with subsequent COVID, the impact of COVID, how it has affected the transit engineering. And then we're looking also at the total Transnet Engineering headcount. Then we have also dealt with when the committee was taken in terms of the site visits, in terms of whether assembly line for the Bombardier locomotives. So this is where we dealt with the issue of the China North Rail and the China South Rail trains that the committee was taken through in terms of the oversight site visits. And then also we have met with the meeting with stakeholders. The committee met with the Department of Economic Development and Tourism in the city of Etequini, and we have highlighted some of the key issues that they have highlighted to us in terms of organized labor They have highlighted the issue of the threat of this National Ports Act, which is mainly the issue of competition and the impending privatization or the threat to privatization of the ports. They're looking at issues of competition that the private sector might take over what they used to do as workers at the port. Then we're also looking at the concern regarding the corporatization of the port and the fear of threat, which is also privatization and retrenchment as issues raised by the workers. The procurement of incompatible cranes of the port, which have not been used, and as no one had been trained to operate those cranes. That was some of the issues that workers have raised. And also the issue of shortage of equipment due to the long and red tape of procurement processes, which is some of the issues that the committee raised in the meeting last week on policy impediments. In terms of the city of Etequini, we met with the representative of the city of Etequini, who have also confirmed with the committee that they are working hand in glove with Transnet in terms of planning and modeling for development in the city. And then in terms of how their plans are informed, the Transnet form are informed by the district development model of the city. So there is good relations and constant communication. And then in terms of the KZN economic development, which was led by the HOD of Mr. Sitle Mkhize, who also informed the committee that Transnet was working well with the provincial executive, and all the plans of Transnet have been adopted and by the executive of Transnet. But they also raised issues regarding the Richards Bay port, that Transnet should not only look at the issues relating to the port of Durban, but also there's a need to ensure they also deal with the issues of the Richards Bay port. And then there was also an oversight visit to the Transnet pipeline. We have given an overview of the pipeline, and in terms of what kind of liquid does it transport and the challenges that they are facing. And then we have looked at the financial analysis as at December 2021 for Transnet Port Terminal. And then these are also the revenue highlights for Transnet pipeline, which was presented to the committee. And then also volumes that has been presented in terms of how does that particular unit of or division of Transnet perform. And then in terms of transformation, we have given a synopsis of what was presented in terms of the inability for the disadvantaged South Africans to actually enter this particular market of pipeline of transporting and entering this market of the of Transnet. And then in terms of the long-term outlook for the TPL, which is Transnet pipeline, we have given that the petroleum products will be in low demand and in introduction of electric vehicles. But that is something that is futuristic. It has set out to adapt and innovate its business model. And the business model, while also leveraging the Transnet strategic assets and core competences and collaborating across the energy ecosystem. And then we also look at the issue of revenue loss and also the capital investment, stranded assets and repurposing of some of the assets of the Transnet pipeline. And then these are the emerging opportunities that have been identified by the division. And also one of the problems that has been identified is the fuel theft that has also been crippling the Transnet pipeline. And what is it that has been done with NERSA to ensure that they deal with the issue of the pipeline theft. And then in terms of the findings of the oversight, although there are challenges related to the capacity and efficiencies of the port, the committee was impressed with the plans to expand the port in order to unlock its potential. I'm not sure if Chair, must I go to each and every of the findings and the recommendations of the committee have read them. Chairperson?
I'm saying while you have given them time to read, but refreshing their mind,
okay,
since you have program, it will be important just to go through
this. Okay. The second one being, the committee noted with concern Transnet had not determined the financial impact of the corporatization of the port on the financial performance of the group. It also noted the concern that there had been no extensive consultation and engagement with organized labor on the strategic direction of the port, particularly on the corporatization. Noted the concern that the impact of the legislative and policy impediments which affect the efficiency of the operations, particularly the turnaround time for procurement of equipment and parts. Acknowledged the advanced manufacturing capability and capacity of Transnet Engineering, however, was concerned with the slow delivery of the 1064 locomotives. The committee observed that fuel theft is the work of organized syndicates and requires intervention from the justice, crime prevention, and security cluster, as it caused TPL a loss of revenue. Clarity was sought on the land rights where the pipelines were located and what are the costs related to that. A concern was raised that at 38 HDSAs who are still yet training with TPL in terms of strategies to ensure that they are supported to participate. And then the HDSA is the Historical Disadvantaged South Africans. The need to explain the tariff application process with NERSA, the committee observed whether calls for a greener economy, which will lead to a decline in the use of petroleum, which is TPL positioning in itself for this future eventuality. In terms of recommendations, the committee made the following recommendations: that Minister of Public Enterprises should ensure that Transnet engages with National Treasury, Department of Trade and Industry, and Competition, and the Department of Economic Development to address the policy and legislative impediments that are hindering SOEs from advancing their developmental objectives. Engages with organized labor on the public-private partnerships and on the policy direction of the company. Engages the city of Etequini and the KZN provincial government on investing in the rail network in the province. Avoids job losses in the reforms that will be implemented at Transnet, particularly the corporatization of the NPA, TNPA. Creates an interdepartmental freight unit within the city of Durban that can bundle expertise and act as a one-stop shop for freight-related issues in the city. This unit could act as a vehicle to improve coordination on freight transport and engage in joint planning, aligning various actors, including Transnet, SALRAL, and national and provincial departments of transport, and the various departments within the city of Durban. Increases the autonomy of TNPA and streamline decision-making procedures within Transnet. This includes more financial autonomy, e.g., by creating a separate fund at the disposal of TNPA for port infrastructure and maintenance. Focuses on the performance of the whole business value chain, as too much focus seems to be on one indicator, which is the crane productivity, without much consideration for other, sometimes even at the detriment of other indicators. Undertakes a comprehensive environmental port impact study and implement a green port mitigation policy if necessary. Institute legal proceedings against companies who fail to deliver on their commitments in the rolling stock. Makes follow-up on recommendations of the state capture report in the investigation and prosecution of individuals who were implicated in the acquisition program for 1064 locomotives. Improves efficiencies, economy, and effectiveness in the TE supply chain management process. Increase efforts to ensure the pipeline from fuel theft by improving governance structures through stakeholder engagements with the security cluster to protect revenue loss from TPA. Expedite transformation targets and streamline efforts through strategies and making infrastructure available in order to get the 38 historical disadvantaged South Africans to trade with TPA. Ensure that there are strategies and capital outlay at TPL in preparation for transition from petroleum to green initiatives. It ends there, Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Honourable members, that is the draft oversight report at Durban Port. Can we get the contribution if perhaps there is something that is not properly captured, whom the which the number of members would like it to be properly captured or missing? Can I see your hands, honorable members? Okay, there's one person there. Is there anyone? 2, 3. Okay. Let's start with the Kosinathi Dlamini.
Thanks, Tay. Good morning, colleague. I think the report covers basically what indeed transpired at the Port of Durban, except that it does not include the part where TFR was part of our initial plan to visit one of the departments to visit, because it, that would then indicate that we did not conclude what we set out to do during this oversight. So it remains hanging. Why is TFR important? If you look at what we've been told in terms of our economy and its performance in recent times, most of the revenue that has been generated has come from the mineral, meaning we need a healthy TFR to maximize on these short-term opportunities. But there's a crisis that we can't discuss in this report, because we never actually went to TFR. And in us going to TFR, we will also have to visit the Port of Richards Bay, where coal specifically is shipped from. And according to the port master plan, that's going to be the port of choice that will deal with that commodity. I think part for that one part, the report covers basically everything. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. Can we just perhaps make a request in our documentation for timelines, projections, budgets and costings and details of partnerships for all the initiatives outlined by our host Transnet during the oversight visit. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kachalia. Honorable Komani.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, colleagues and honorable members. Chair, whilst I raised my hand, I wanted to echo the sentiment that was echoed by Honorable Dlamini in terms of the TFR visit. And Chair, I also wanted to say there were projections that were given to us there. As Honorable Kashalia was saying, I missed that in that report. So maybe if we can get that into the report would then be made different. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable, last person here is Honorable Chabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair. Let me greet honorable members in the meeting Chair, I think I also support the report with all the noting that we would have made. Without rewriting the report, really, Chair, I just wanted to express some of the issues that I think that they should find expression in the report, and I'm more than willing to also forward them to the Secretariat to look into them as well. I thought, let me do that so that it is for noting in this meeting. One, I think that for me, the findings and recommendations of the report of the oversight visit to the Port of Durban require immediate attention. Firstly, this part on the legislative and policy impediments that impact negatively on the Transnet operational and financial performance, we need to treat that as a matter of agency. So part of the recommendations, it needs to come so that it's here. And why I'm saying that, and for an instance, as part of observation that Transnet in the visit was unable to use or is unable to use CSIR directly as the National Treasury subject everything to competitive bidding. And this has led to, as the report shows, among other things, the increase in the turnaround time for procurement of goods and services. So this does not only hinder Transnet from advancing developmental objectives, but it also prohibits Transnet from fast-tracking the delivery of infrastructure projects in line with the government's economic reconstruction and recovery plan. So I feel it must come as part of one observation, and secondly, to say recommendations thereof. We need to ensure that we definitely require the legislative and policy impediments that we need to highlight. Second, there is a need to craft interventions, Chair, that can decisively deal with the slow delivery of the 1064 locomotives. The report definitely highlights on that, but I think that that should be in a written observation. The fact that the slow delivery of the 1064 has resulted in capacity challenges that Transnet can't continue to, that continue to inhibit the inroads for the entity that it should have made thus far. And I'll give you an example that the Transnet freight rail has reached its maximum capacity. And in terms of manganese and iron ore lines, implying that TFR cannot transport or rather carry the extra demand of these commodities, partly due to shortages of locomotives. Thus, I want to move that Transnet must be in a position to institute legal proceedings against companies that fail to deliver on their commitment in the rolling stock. And I think it's something that we need to carry. As much as we do oversight, it's important to also give recommendations on things that one would have observed, and these are the issues that we would have raised. While this one that I'm going to say that it was not part of the oversight visit, I feel that, Chair, at this point, it is this Transnet that should be taking advantage of the current high demand of coal as a result of the conflict that we would have seen between Russia and its neighbor Ukraine. But aging infrastructure continue to act as a stumbling block. Hence, it is important for Transnet to engage in collaborative initiatives with the private sector, including but not limited to Exxaro, Anglo-American, Kalady Chrome, and Thungela, in order to increase its capacity and market share, as well as to improve the competitiveness of the extractive industry and mining sector and so forth. So I'm just putting this as part of the recommendation, as much as we might not have noted it, but now with the developments that are happening currently. I think I'm going to leave it at that, Chair, and say that definitely one supports this report with what it really has been able to capture. There was this part of the union that we did engage with the union, and maybe it's something that one would find time to locate within the report, the union letter, if we're dealing with it. Maybe it's something that one would be able to give recommendation on, but I move for the adoption of the report in advance. Thank you, Chair. And of course, sorry, Chair, supporting what Honorable Dlamini would have said, that we need to, part of our recommendation, we need to complete our oversight that we're meant to do. That part of supporting the oversight on TFR is quite important. I think it must be noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. In the it's clear that all hands has been exhausted. But I think also, Secretary, we need, and the members, we need to look at this fuel theft thing, even if it means there must be a recommendation there that sort of point to us as a committee members in terms of how do we contribute towards resolving that problem, even if it means we meet with our sister portfolio committee on safety and security, so that we check if we cannot engage them to sort of do something about that, because that costs millions of revenue. We have to, we can't just leave it there. I don't know whether it's a legal hand or you.
It's a new hand, Chair.
Yeah, I don't like new hands.
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment on the point you are making, Chair, that indeed it would become very prudent for us to meet with the safety cluster, in that in during our oversight visit, Transnet did point out that they are putting a lot of money into security using drones and whatever else, but it's not their core function. So we need to intervene at that space. I support your input, sir. Chair, thanks.
Okay. Another hand, is it that hand, the Honorable Chabalala?
No, Chair, I also wanted to come. I think you've raised an important issue on the matter. Can I go ahead? Can I go ahead, Chair?
Oh, gosh, what is happening here? Oh, yes, go ahead.
All right. All right. Thank you, Chair. I think also, as you raised the issue, I'm in full support to say that definitely the fuel theft continues to be a thorny issue that confronts Transnet, and it contributes to revenue losses resulting from the pipeline damage caused by the theft. Although Transnet is currently using drones and helicopters, that is very costly, as well as the product theft task team to limit fuel theft itself. So the resources are really being taken there. But there is a need, Chair, to get everybody involved, including the intervention of the Justice Crime Prevention and Security, the JCPS. And I think somewhere Disang did highlight that. But just to put it explicitly and relatedly, pipeline is a servitude right, and therefore clarity is sought on the land rights, where the pipelines are also located, and what are the costs related to that. So I just wanted to emphasize that. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chabalala. Honorable members, I think we have exhausted the report with the hope that the Secretary will capture all those issues, those amendments to the report, so that when the final report comes, everything is properly captured there.
We need a second, sir.
Yes.
We need a second for the adoption.
Okay. A second. Oh, yes. Honorable Chabalala has proposed for the adoption. Is there any second?
Yeah, Honorable Dlamini, second and third.
Okay, Honorable Dlamini, seconded. Thank you. Let's move to the minutes of the previous sessions. Secretary?
Thank you, Chair. This date of the 16th, I thought this week is the 16th. That is why I might have sent that link again. Chair, the minutes that you have not adopted is the minutes of the 16th of March, which was the meeting when we dealt with the policy impediments that are hindering the state-owned enterprises from advancing their developmental objectives. The delegation of the department was led by the deputy minister, then the DG, and then the presentation was made by Ms. Tlale. Then also present was the group CEO of Transnet and the group chief procurement officer, and ESCOM was also represented by the general manager of procurement. And then the opening remarks of the chairperson, number one. Number two is just an input from the deputy minister on what is it that the state-owned enterprises are subjected to in terms of being uncompetitiveness, because they are subjected to too many legislation that is also contributing to the red tape, unlike their counterparts in the private sector who do not have to be subjected to red tape. And then the presentation was quite a comprehensive one that was presented by Ms. Buyo Tlale, who was the Chief Director for Financial Analysis. It gave an overview of the legislative challenges and the progress that has been made to address these challenges. And then some of the inputs that were made regarding Transnet and ESCOM in particular, it was mainly regarding the issue of them, how they struggle to actually secure maintenance equipment and parts for their plants, and that makes it difficult. That makes it longer for them to produce what they're supposed to produce for the market, which is makes them uncompetitive in terms of their counterparts in the private sector. And then the National Treasury was actually in the meeting identified as the department that actually is the one that is doing the hindrances through the National Treasury regulations, the notes, and the instructions that are given on top of policies that exist. And it was noted that the PFMA in its current form, including the triple PFA, they are not necessarily a hindrance, but it's actually the instructions that National Treasury would give that are actually a hindrance to these companies proceeding. And then the discussions that have been there, I think we have just given a few of the issues that have been highlighted by the committee, and also the responses that were given by the portfolio, by the department, and some of the officials that were present in the meeting. And then the minutes that were adopted was the meeting of the minutes of the 2nd of March, 2022. That is the end, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. Honourable members, those are the minutes of the 16th of March. Is there any move for the adoption of the meeting of the minutes?
Yeah.
Before I give, Zhang, I don't know how do you deal with this. Do you have an area, any area of apologies, because my understanding is that the minister was part of that meeting. You get me? Zhang?
Chair.
No,
there is apologies that are reflected, but we reflect the apologies of members of the committee.
Yeah, my understanding is that the minister was also part of the meeting and he made an apology and he left and came back.
Is it this meeting, Chair?
Was not that meeting?
It's only the deputy minister who was present.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, fine. Let's go to the members.
Chair.
Yes.
Chair?
Yes, yes, Honorable Kumede.
Yes, Chair. May I move that the minutes as tabled before us be adopted?
Okay. That is the mover, Honorable Kumete. Any seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Thierry.
Chabalala, here, as you move and second, I wanted just to add some few points. I don't know if you want to adopt it, then we go to the points or something like that, if there's areas that needs to be covered.
Honorable Chabalala.
Okay. All right, thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I think because we're dealing with National Treasury and the regulations and the law, especially on this issue of preferential procurement, I think there was an area of emphasis that were coming from members. And part of it was this matter around National Treasury that would have exempted and including Transnet from provisions to act that aim in favor of the Black-owned businesses in the awarding of government contracts, particularly of the law that is there currently. So I think that that is something that we needed to put also in our minutes, that while we acknowledge that the current preferential procurement legislation that aims to promote BEE had only enjoyed minimal success, And the ruling in this instance, beside the ruling, but I think it's something that we would have wanted to note, because we did say part of our recommendations that we still have to have really a meeting with Treasury around these matters, so that we ensure that there's a better mechanisms for ensuring the participation of Black business that really needs to come into the market. And what we're seeing is really regrettable in this instance. And also there was a recommendation as well that we made around, I remember I made it when we were speaking about Dinel, and one would have really made a recommendation that says that there's a need that Dinel can only be saved if there's a collaborative effort from the all the portfolio committees in the security cluster. And we said the cluster must also work alongside finance, treasury, and appropriations to come up with strategies that could be used to locally support Dinel's products. Hence, even in that meeting, one did move that we do need a meeting with the task team being defense and treasury and DPE. So I thought, let me make those observations because these are things that came out in that meeting. So thank you. As I second the adoption of the minutes with those amendments. Thank you.
Seconded by Chabalala. And then?
With amendments, Chair.
Yes, of course. Can we go to the, we have finished with those minutes. Can we go to the second term program, Mr. Mechum?
Okay, Chair.
Yeah.
In terms of the second term program of the committee, the second term will be starting on the 19th of April, 2022. It's a week that we have been given when we come back to undertake oversight visits. I have identified these few places that I think the committee might be of interest to visit, which is your port of Nomuka, which is in PE. There's also the port of Saldanha, which is a special economic zone, quite a lot of billions being invested in terms of industrialization in port of Saldanha. And then the Kuberg power station, I'm not sure if the committee is interested in because it's the only nuclear power station that we have in the country. And then Dinel has got an overbed test range, which is one of the capabilities of Dinel that is used by countries all over the world to come and test the capabilities of their ammunition and the accuracy of the ammunition. So it's some of the things that I have identified the committee would engage in terms of other places that they seek to visit. And then on the 27th of May, April 2022, there's a long outstanding meeting of DENEL, which was postponed. The status update on the challenges facing the company. Since DENEL has not yet concluded its financial statements, I have also included there a briefing by the Department of Defense and Military Veterans on the future role of Transnet, of DENEL, seeing that there are policy considerations that the state needs to make in terms of DENEL and its role in the economy. Then on the 4th of May, we are entering the budget vote process, where we'll be briefed by the AG of South Africa on the audit outcomes of the strategic plan and operational plans of the Department of Public Enterprises. But they will also give us their view as AG in terms of the budget of the department and its allocation in terms of the outcomes and targets of the department, whether there is an alignment. And then we'll also be having a meeting on that same day with the Department of Public Enterprises, where they will brief us on their strategic plan and the budget for 2022 to 2023. Then on the 11th of May, I thought maybe we should get ESCOM and Transnet to brief us directly on their performance targets for the 2022-2023 financial year. In the past, we used to have the department, we would brief us on their performance targets, but they will also give us the shareholder compact. I think the committee must take a decision on that, because the shareholder compact is where the department signs the performance contract with each state-owned enterprise. So these two biggest enterprises, because we only have 2 weeks to deal with this report, at least if we can have these two companies to brief us on their performance targets for the 2022-2023. And then on the 18th, we adopt our budget vote report. If needs be, we can also have a whole long meeting from 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock, so that we can have the department, AG, and all of them in one day, because there will be no plenaries during that week. And then on the 18th, we adopt our budget vote report. And then on the Wednesday, the 25th of May, 2022, National Treasury and DTI will be engaging them on the impediments that have been identified that prohibit state-owned and companies from advancing their developmental mandate, including the future of DENEL, because National Treasury also has got a say in terms of what should happen with going with DENEL going forward. In terms of the 1st of June 2022, Department of Trade and Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development on unresolved land claims issues affecting SAFCOL and the outstanding issues affecting ALEXCO. Both SAFCOL and ALEXCO, they've got land claims issues. SAFCOL has got land claims which are dating back more than 10 years ago, and the Department of Rural Development has not addressed them. The people who are supposed to be beneficiaries, some of them are passing on, as that was highlighted in our oversight visit. Same as ALEXCO. There's still monies and issues of structures of the community which are unresolved. So the Department of Rural Development needs to give the committee a thing. And then on the 8th of June, a joint meeting with PC on transport, briefing by the Department of Transport on the challenges facing the rail infrastructure, and also the road to rail strategy. This meeting should be attended by Transnet and DPE. And then I'm not sure, I did not know which other issue to put on the last meeting there, but the input from the committee would also assist. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mchumi. But if you go there first, you listed almost 1, 2, 3, 4 areas where you think that we can go for oversight. But when one look at the date there, it's only 4 days. And Muga, Saldane, Kuberg, and Overberg test range. Those are two poles apart kind of areas. Perhaps I can understand Kuberg and Overberg. It's not too big, though there will be driving areas, but still we'll have to drive from Kuberg, I mean from Cape Town to Kuberg, and we'll drive from Cape Town to Overberg. But it's not the case from from Cape Town to Saldan. But when it comes to Muka, we'll have to fly. Therefore, I think you need to play around time, even if it means increasing this date to do this oversight, to separate them. It doesn't become only those 7 days. It have to be a couple of days more than the 4 days you reflected there. I don't know how you do that, but you'd use your capacity to do that. But definitely 19 to 22 won't be enough for those 2 days. Honorable members, that's the program. Can I see your hands? Was the Honorable Maotwe speaking for the first time? I'm tempted to be biased towards her. Can you start, Honorable Maotwe?
No, thank you very much, Chair. You're not biased. I raised my hand first, so you're right. Chair, I see the program as presented by the Secretary, but I'm worried that we are going to the same entity over and over again. I joined this portfolio committee in 2019, and we've not visited SAA, we've not visited SA Express, we've not visited DNL, despite the challenges that they continue to have. Transnet, we went to them last year when we went to Cape Town. We did TE, TNPA, TPT, and TFR. Again, this year you went to Transnet in Durban. The same applies to Eskom. You've gone to Kusile and Medupi power station. So I'm saying if you plan to go to Transnet again, it means we're going into we're focusing into two entities out of the seven that we have. And I don't think we'll be doing justice. My proposal is that for the next term, let's do either DNL or SA Express or SAA, because those have been in the headlines quite a number of times, and there seem not to be anything that seeks to suggest that they are improving anytime soon. And I know that the questions could be that we don't want Transnet and Eskom to end up in the same situation as the rest, but I don't think you're going to get any new thing from Transnet. I think it's just going to be the same thing. When I was listening to the report that was presented by the Secretary of the visit, it actually confirmed that what I learned over the years, and maybe you can forget that, but what we learned during the oversight in Cape Town, it's not different from what we learned now. So I strongly feel that let's use this opportunity, if it's just one oversight visit that we can do, to focus on the three entities, and even Safcol. I mean, Safcol is doing well, we know, but obviously we don't want it to fall off the cracks and start doing what SAA and SSPRS are doing. And perhaps we can learn one or two things from them so we can advise the rest of the entities. So really my proposal is that we've done enough oversight to Transnet. I don't think there's anything new that you learn out of it, that you have not learned. We just need to now focus on the issues that were raised and how are they being addressed and follow up on them. But let's focus on other SOEs as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Maotwe, Honorable Tabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I want to raise this matter as part of our program the next term. One, we would have noted that Treasury came before SCOPA, and I think it was on the 9th, if I'm not wrong. And before SCOPA, Treasury was reporting around the role that it played and concerns about the SAA, what they term as SAA deals that were set by the Treasury DG. And when it revealed that it was not part of the process of disposing the 51% of the government shareholding in SAA to a strategic equity partner last year. And Treasury said that it raised concern in relation to some of the terms and conditions agreed to between the preferred partner and the Department of Public Enterprise. Now, my point here, Chair, I think it's something that we need to interact with, understanding that really information we should be able to get as well. So we should be able to call the DPE in this next team to come and explain to us really how the process unfolded to arrive at and appointing the strategic equity partner, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we get partial with the facts, not necessarily taking which one is correct at this point. Because we understand that decisions are made after, you know, cab memos and frequently these things are presented to cabinet and recommendations that should be accepted ordinarily. So we don't understand what has came out. So it is important to understand this the issue and how the decision we arrived at also that should ordinarily be mandated by cabinet. So I think it's something that really we need to DPE to come and explain to us and how it acted on the issue, so that at least all of us were in the same wavelength on this matter. I think for me it's quite important. So I want to see where Comrade Disang, or rather Disang, can infuse that. Secondly, Chair, the issue of DTI, and I think that we need a meeting with DTI, specifically on the issue of Companies Act. I've always raised this matter around Companies Act in relation to this matter of business rescue, because this is not our area of purview. However, Chair, we would have noted over time, especially as this committee that oversight over these SOEs, there has been historically, or rather what we're seeing happening, wherein if we're unable to restructure, then we are left with liquidation. At the end of the day, then there is a business rescue process. That at this point, I want to say I'm not happy with it, because taken from the SAA process, the matter around accountability of financing of this business rescue practitioners is quite important, because we understood that they don't even account to the same departments that they will be liquidated or being given this mandate to rather produce plans that should be able to recover or give a recourse. However, what we see, we end up these things being liquidated and being sold. So I don't think that in that process, in so far as legislation is concerned, I think it's within our commitment. If not, it's important for us to interact with DTI on this legislation and understand it, so that these matters are raised. And if there is something in the law that should be strengthened around accountability, the financing, and how these BRPs are also appointed, it's something that we need to pay attention to, especially taking from the SAA situation, because I don't think that we really got at the end of the deal as Parliament in this instance. So I'm sponsoring that. The Denel visit, I'm definitely supporting that. We need to infuse Denel as part of our oversight visit, including if we can also include Alexco briefings, specifically just to receive developments, design around appointments. We know the issue of the CEO, there's been an appointment of the board. So write later, maybe in the program, if you can put that, so that we can receive a briefing in terms of progress that has been happening within Alexco, so that we're also dealing with issues of development, if not transformation that we've been raising around Black-owned persons, if not businesses, coming into Alexco as well in the mining industry, to see how are they being welcomed to participate. Because from our oversight, we would have noted that it is too much lady white, and we don't have Black people really taking place, especially the women empowerment there. The last part, I think for me, really, yeah, I think I'm supporting the program, and well done to Disang. And I agree with you, Chair, in terms of the dates, that Disang can look into the dates properly so that it is feasible. We're able to attend to this oversight. But all of them that has been written there, I think I'm happy with them. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think there's another hand there. Honorable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair. I'm partially covered by Honorable Chabalala. I think it would be important for us as a committee to get a progress report on Alex. Remember, we are constantly told this entity is battling financially because of expenditure, this and whatnot. But the model that's being used there is such that Alexco doesn't absorb much of the overhead in terms of mining. So we need to understand how Alexco spends the 40% that they get from miners. And two, you'd remember, Chair, that last time when you went there was a CEO, and DPE has since concluded a process of appointing a board. And now it appears as if the chairperson of the board is also the current acting CEO. And maybe we need to also be taken into confidence as to why that is the case. Is there a shortage in the market or within Alex for people who can act in the interim as CEO and whatnot? Two, I support Dinel's visit, but I also think we've discussed the issue of procurement insofar as these regulations that we have are a hindrance to efficiency and creating a market for Dinel and other SOE. In that, I remember in the olden days, SAPS used a parabellum, Z88 parabellum, which was produced in South Africa, and they had the R1, that rifle R1, but they then developed their own, which was R4, I think. So those are things that were developed with a specific market, which is our own government. So now, if you visit police stations and metro police everywhere, most of them are using clocks, and those are important. Yes, we have a struggling there. So we've discussed this since last year, and we are not moving on this. I think as part of our discussion with Treasury, we need to also factor that in place, because us lamenting that the SOE is battling it, we are not helping it by procuring services and goods from... Why do we procure what we already have? It doesn't make sense. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable members, I will ask, I think we have to adopt the program. Can I get movers and seconders?
Chair Honorable Chabalala, I move for adoption of the second term program with amendments. Thank you so much.
Honorable Chabalala, I move with amendments. Any seconder?
I second, Chair, with the amendments. Understanding that, Chair.
You're still continuing?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Kumar.
Chair.
Okay.
Yes, I second the adoption of the program as amended with the understanding that the first item on the program will have to be dealt with, especially in conjunction with the Chair. Because of the time factor, the days, and we have ballooned our program. It looks as if all entities are critical. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Umede. Honorable members, the last item on our program is a correspondence from the National Union of Mine Workers and wish to ask the secretary to present the correspondence to us. It was sent in time, therefore we have read it, but I would like him to make that presentation, even if it means summarizing the content of the letter.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation, the letter is from the NUM at Kuburg Power Station. The letter follows the press statement of Eskom to suspend the replacement of three new steam generators at Eskom Power Station of Kuburg Power Station. So in the main, as I've read this letter, the employees there, they feel that Eskom, when it announced to the public, it said that they will not be continuing with the replacement of the steam generators because Eskom is not ready. And if they do continue, it will hamper generation of electricity. And also because we're going into a peak season. However, the NUM is asking for the portfolio committee to give them an audience to give reasons in terms of why they believe that the reasons that were given were not were inaccurate. And then they're saying that this particular contract that is the replacement of the generators has got the potential to plow Eskom into billions of rands, because they believe that the contractor has not done much work. However, he is continuing to drain Eskom billions of rands, and the contractor is not from South Africa. And they believe that the committee needs to look into the matter and ask them and give them opportunity to come and present so that they are able to give you all the information regarding this particular matter. That is the gist of the issue, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mutshumi. Honorable members, that is the content of the letter. I think we all browse or read the letter. Is there any comment?
Chair.
Honorable members, I'm seeing hands there. I'm not sure if it's the same hand. I hope it's not the legal hand. Honorable Shabalala?
Yes, Chair. No, it's not the legacy hand.
Okay.
All right. Chair, one is that, the Union of Mine Workers has raised concerns regarding the deferral of the steam generator replacement at Unit 2 of Kuburg Nuclear Power Plant. And the first concern there is that the postponement of the project may result in financial losses to the utility. And the second concern is that workers are being used as a scapegoat in defending foreign contracting companies who fail to meet their contractual obligation, and that workers at Eskom will continue to suffer meaningless increases, citing a cash-strapped entity while management continues to waste a significant amount of money on questionable decisions. Now, as a portfolio committee, we've witnessed how the overruns caused by the delays in the completion, for instance, of Medupi Power Station, and have seen the cost of escalating to 145 billion on one hand, and how the construction of flats meant to house artisans at Kusile Power Station has seen cost escalating from 260 million to 800 million on the other hand. Now, we hope that the deferral of the steam generator replacement at Kuburg will not result, really, Chair, in the escalation of costs. So furthermore, workers must also, and I think it's what I want to sponsor here, that workers must be compensated handsomely to boost the staff morale, which is important for the sustainability of our state-owned enterprises. But the fact that Eskom and Dinel are also losing artisans and engineers with scarce critical skills must be corrected, Chair. Without such scarce critical skills, our SOEs will become really non-functional. So based on all these observations and what we're seeing, Chair, I think there's merit in what other aspects of the report really is trying to raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Honorable Maotwe.
No, it's an old hand, Chair, sorry.
Yes.
It's okay. it's an old black hand. That hand is too
okay.
black.
Thank you. Honorable members, order. The meeting is still on. You can do your... Honorable members, you can play your friendly buddy after the session. For now, Honorable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair. I think the letter from the union raises critical issues which can't be ignored. More especially because there is an incident that's been reported in the news of someone making a mistake which will almost cost a life and a lot of money. I was hoping that now that you've included as part of our progress a visit to Kube, we must then invite the union as a stakeholder to maybe take us on board on these issues and any other issue that might not be covered by this letter. Because remember, our thinking most of the time seems to focus more on the Zondo Commission and state capture as it's defined now. But we are losing sight of what is happening currently, which does not seem to differ much from what has been happening elsewhere, which is now called state capture. We need to also have our finger on the pulse on such things. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable members, I think there is no more hand that I'm seeing here. Yeah. Meaning we have agreed that the portfolio committee in the oversight that is pending on the 19 to 22 will be in a position to get to Eskom at Quebec and get information or some presentation from both the VATs and the unions so that we get into the depth of the situation there. I think that's in essence what we all agree in this committee. Honorable members, if there is no, because the agenda in front of me seems to be exhausted,
okay.
If there is no, what are you saying? What is the no?
Gisan, can I assist?
Yes, assist.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that seeing that our program for the oversight is already congested, we are going to prioritize the NEL and SAA and others. So next week we don't have a meeting that we have scheduled because we have removed the NEL for next time. So if indeed the committee wants to process this matter, we can do it next week if the committee is okay with it.
You mean... you mean we try to find next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday. It's either we can have a meeting virtually with the union just to brief us so that we know what action we need to take.
I don't get you properly. Maybe other members will hear you. Are hearing you. My thinking is that we still want to see do you still want to go to Quebec? If
yes.
there is a possibility that we can be having this session there at Quebec, we can do that. Why we cannot perhaps you arrange for us to have this session with all of these entity, I mean the both the executive and Quebec, I mean Quebec management and the workers there at Quebec. Quebec is just a drive to from here. It's less than it's about 60 kilometers from town. Disarm.
Yes, sir. I will advise the chairperson after I've done my with the possibilities of it for next week, if we have to go there, because there's a lot that's happening in terms of the vote of confidence and other things. So if there's a day, I will advise the chair which one is it.
Okay. Okay. No. Members, are you agreeing with all that?
No, Chair, I did raise my hand. I think that I'm happy with what Disang ended up saying, because we have a contested week as well in Parliament, and that vote of no confidence must be there to really deal with it. So I'm happy with it. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Honourable Members. That is the end of our session. Thank you for your positive and constructive engagement. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes, long live the chair.